Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. Once again, sure thank Hannah Fiesler for coming and playing for us today. Ms. Noble's off visiting her sisters, and I think they're having health problems, so she went to see them. And I'm glad that she is willing to come and step in and play the piano for us. I really do appreciate that. There was a little boy named Johnny. Johnny's always getting into trouble. And the main problem he had was he was bad about telling lies. He would lie, and even when he wasn't lying, he would really stretch the truth with, some big, tall tales, if you would. And it got to be a problem in the schoolroom where he was. So his teacher got a little bit upset, and she had tried everything she could do. So she went to the principal, talked to the principal, and the principal said, okay, I can take care of it. The next time that happens, you send him to me. So she did, and sure enough, it didn't take but a couple of days, and Johnny was at it again. So she takes little Johnny to the principal's office and said, here he is, principal, and once again, he's telling stuff's not true. And principal said, no problem, Johnny, sit down right there. You and I are going to talk. So Johnny sat down, and the principal said, listen, I have a story I want to share with you. Said, I wanted to go duck hunting, and so I was got all ready to go, but I found out I only had 2 shells. But I thought, well, I'm already ready to go, so I'm going to go. So I was out duck hunting, and I here called in the ducks, and I shot once and killed 2 ducks with 1 shot. But not only that, when those ducks fell, they landed in the tree and killed 4 squirrels in the tree. Knocked them all out of the tree. They all fell to the ground. When they landed on the ground, they landed on and killed 2 rabbits. He said, so I got up and said, I'm on my way to pick up all the game that I've got. And a bear comes out of the woods after me and after the game that I'd killed. And said, I thought I'd had it. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this little dog comes out. And this dog attacked that bear. And while the dog was mauling the bear, I picked up all my game and left. And said, now, Johnny, you believe what I say, don't you? You know I'm telling the truth. And Johnny said, I sure do. That was my dog. And that's a 3rd bear this week, all right? So there you are. Sometimes that's the way things go, all right? And all of that, I've told that because it has absolutely nothing to do with what I want to preach to you about tonight, all right? Tried this morning to try to just encourage you a little bit and, just point you toward the Lord. And tonight I want to warn you just a bit, okay? Just a warning. I think it's good to be warned, all right? So if you're there in Hebrews 12, look in verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for 1 morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I want to draw your attention especially there to verse 16, if you will, where the Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for 1 morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, if you're like me and you grew up in Sunday school, you grew up in church, man, the story of Esau is familiar to people that attended Sunday school for any length of time. You've heard the story of Jacob and Esau. And if you haven't heard the story, it's in the book of Genesis, all right? And you go back and you can read it, but Jacob and Esau, brothers, and very unlike each other. And but the truth of the matter is, when we look at Esau, if you're familiar with him, we hold the opinion that we do of Esau because of what he did for 1 morsel of meat, all right? Because of just what he did for 1 morsel of meat. Now, Esau was a man of the outdoors. He was a fella like the principal, all right? He liked to go out and he liked to hunt. He liked to climb over and through obstacles, you know, in pursuit of game. He didn't mind that kind of stuff. He was an outdoor guy. That takes a man that's got some strength, a man that's got some determination and perseverance. And if you're that kind of individual, you know, an outdoorsman, all of those things will be part of your makeup. He was as unlike Jacob as a man could be, all right? Though they were brothers, very different, all right? But in spite of his strength, in spite of the might that he had, what we remember most about Esau was what happened to him in a weak moment. In a weak moment. Now, folks, there's a great danger in weak moments. There's great danger in weak moments. In a time of weakness, a great deal can be thrown away just in an instant, in a single moment, never to be recovered again. You can't get it back, all right? So I want to speak to you tonight a little bit about weak moments, okay? About weak moments. Very true statement, you're no stronger than you are at your weakest moment. You're no stronger now than you are at your weakest moment. We often hear the admonition, you know, you've heard it, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, okay? Your character is the same. Your character is the same. Your character is only as strong as you are at your weakest moment, as your weakest time. We look at Esau, all right? We look at him, okay? And we think about what he did. But the truth of the matter is, he had an appreciation for what that birthright symbolized for the most part. Notice what it says there in verse 17. It says he found no place of repentance, all right? And afterward, when he would have inherited that blessing, he realized, my goodness, what I gave up was worth so much. He realized it, all right, but he had lost it. And his effort to get it back, it didn't work, all right? But he was a man who, in a moment of temptation, he threw away his birthright. Threw it away, all right? We need to be remembering this, okay? Remember this. The real trial, the real test of your faith, the real test of your character is not at your strong point. It's at the weak point. And by the way, that's where the test comes. That's where the test comes. It always comes at that weak spot in your armor, if you will. If you'll remember the story of David and Goliath, you remember where that stone hit Goliath? It was right between his eyes, okay? Well, he had on a helmet, but you got to have some room in there to see, all right? And you know, what an accident that old Dave... No, it wasn't an accident, all right? Not a bit was it an accident. It put that stone right where the armor was weak. That's exactly where you and I, our character, our life, our Christianity, it's going to be tested at the weak spots, okay? The weak spots. Ever ball team, football teams, football teams start playing, they begin to feel each other out. And what they're doing is they're looking for the weak spot. Looking for the weak spot. Boxers. Boxers get in the ring, and a lot of times the first round's not very exciting. It's kind of dull. But what they're doing is looking for the weak spot. They're wanting to see that boxer, when he throws that left jab, he wants to see how that other fellow reacts. When he begins to throw the right cross, does he drop his guard a little bit? See, he's looking for that weak spot. He's looking for the spot that he can attack for his advantage. That's exactly what he's doing. A battle line. Any battle line is just as strong as the weak spot, the weakest spot in that battle line. Give you, for instance, September the 20th, 1863. Many of you remember. All right, none of you remember that day. All right, but on September the 20th, 1863, the second day at the Battle of Chickamauga, all right, General Rosecrans mistakenly sent an order to General Wood to close up on the men of General Reynolds because he thought there was a gap in the line. Well, there wasn't a gap in the line, but the movement he had and he created with that order put a gap in the line, and so General Longstreet smashed through, drove the center and the right wing of the Union Army from the field. Why? Found the weak spot. He found the weak spot. That's it. Listen, folks, that's what the devil's looking for in your life and mine. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for that weak spot. He's looking for that place that's maybe not guarded good enough, or maybe where you just have a weakness, and that's where he wants to attack. And folks, let me say this to you. Most of us, we've been around, you've been a child of God for a while, he already knows what it is. He already knows what it is. You say, why you say that? Because he's already beaten us up through that weak spot. He's already attacked us. We've already given in to sin, given in to the flesh, all right, through that weak spot. Hey, that weak place, that's the place you really need to be aware of, okay? Because you're no stronger. I'm no stronger than that weakest place. That weakest place. Now, the old devil, the Bible said, he goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Hey, he's looking for the weak spot. He's looking for the weak one. He's looking for the one that's careless. We get careless in some activity. That's when we get attacked. When we get careless. Now, let me just give you a few specific things, if I could, for you to think about, be aware of, and to consider, all right? Oftentimes, those weak moments are caused by our fleshly appetites and passions. It's just the flesh we have to deal with. Let me give you a few. Remember what we said about Esau? Esau came in that day. He had put in a long, hard day. He came in, and like many people, he said, I'm about starved to death. And so he looked at his brother Jacob. He knew Jacob was a good cook. And he said, Jacob, could you make me something to eat? I'm going to die right here. And Jacob said, I will if you'll swap me your birthright for this meal. You just swap me your birthright. And you go back and study and you read there, Esau said, my birthright's not worth anything to me if I'm dead and I'm going to die. Now, how many of you ever listened to somebody like that say, I'm starving to death? I've said it before. I wasn't. I just kind of thought right at that moment I was, though. Right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm starving. No, you aren't. The truth of the matter is I could probably live a couple of weeks without eating again. Wouldn't be very pleasant weeks, but, you know, I've got a reserve, if you will, all right? Some of y'all I'm worried about. You wouldn't last very long. You don't have much of a reserve. But, you know, we make that statement. Why? That's the flesh. That's exactly what Esau did. Esau came in. Now, Esau wasn't going to die. Now, was he hungry? Yes. But he's a little weak. He was a little bit weak at that time. Let me tell you about another fellow in the Bible you're familiar with, a guy named Samson. Samson was easy prey for the devil because of his fleshly appetites. Man, the devil just, it was open season on Samson. All the devil had to do was run out a good-looking woman in front of him. And he got in trouble every time. Every time. Boy, just messed him up, okay? Messed him up. Why? Flesh. Fleshly appetite. That produces a weak moment. The old flesh you and I live in likes to sin. It likes to sin. That tongue you have likes to gossip. That tongue you've got to have. It likes to spread stuff. Now, we were singing Onward Christian Soldiers, and that line in there said, we are not divided. It's hard to keep from being divided. And a lot of it's because of the tongue. And we just start saying things, all right? In a moment of anger, we say something that we wish, boy, I wish I hadn't said that, but it's already out. It's already out. That flesh, that envy that builds up in, bitterness that gets in us, all right? Hey, listen, that's a fleshly appetite that comes upon us causes trouble. Sometimes it's that desire for instant gratification. I had a college professor, lost as lost could be, but he had a saying, and he'd say, "I want what I want when I want it now." And he said, that's the way most of you college students are. And you know what? He had us pegged. That was right. That's the way most of us were. We're that way. We want instant gratification. But because of that, oftentimes people throw away a brilliant future, bright with promise, because we wanted that instant gratification. Just can't wait. Got to have it now. Many sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. On that altar of the immediate. Think about David. David, the great king of Israel. David, the great psalmist. One night. One evening, if you will, on top of the palace, looking out, seeing Bathsheba. And boy, that desire for instant gratification. Look what it did to his future. Look what it did to his future. Why? A weak moment. A weak moment. Listen, if David wasn't immune, you and I aren't either. And I know preachers, and I've known preachers in the past that did the dumbest things in the world. Dumbest things in the world. They were sinful, all right? But it was just dumb. Why? That weak moment. Now, wait a minute. I'm not excusing it. It was wrong, but it just got caught, that weak moment. That weak moment. Sometimes it's brought on by fleshly appetites. But wait a minute. Sometimes that weak moment is brought on by greed. Greed. The Bible's real plain. Says the love of money's the root of all evil. Love of money's the root of all evil. But boy, there's so many people that just to make a few dollars or to just can keep from using a few dollars, a lot of people compromise with evil. Compromise with sin. Compromise with Satan. Why? Just to get a little bit more, all right? Just to get a little bit more. Sometimes people even break their word that they've pledged because they see a chance to enrich themselves a little bit. A little bit. Here I am, I have that chance. And because of that greed, it produces a very weak moment in their life. I think of some people in the New Testament. Do you think of two people in the New Testament like that? That they sought to better their position, but in a state of greed, all right? Ananias and Sapphira. They got together and they agreed that they would lie. They agreed they would lie. They were going to claim, hey, we gave it all, and they wanted the glory and the recognition of having given it all, but at the same time, they wanted to retain a big chunk. Why? Greed. Greed. We just want all we can, all right? We want to get all we can get our hands on, and people will do it today. Sometimes, ma'am, just that moment of weakness. If I could just get a hold of that money. Can't resist it. Well, when you do it, you put a stain on your conscience. You put a stain that's not going to go away. Hey, by the way, you've also sinned against God. Also sin against God. We say, well, preacher, it was just that weak moment. I understand. It was that weak moment. And we have those, but that's the one you got to guard against. That's when you got to be careful, all right? That's when you got to be careful. At that weak moment, when you're not suspecting anything, you think everything's going to be all right, nothing to fear, watch out. Watch out. Hey, sometimes it is fear that brings on that weak moment for a lot of people. It's amazing, folks that can be fearless before the guns of the enemy on the battlefield flinch before the pointed finger of scorn. Somebody's going to point the finger at them and offer scorn towards them. That's what happened to old Peter. What happened to him? You're one of those. Peter was the same fellow that night earlier had grabbed the sword and tried to cut off the servant's head, all right? And the one that had come after Jesus tried to amputate his topmost extremity, all right? So I want to cut that off. And yet he gets around the fire there, and they begin to point at him and say, yep, he was with him. And in that moment, just that moment of fear, Peter said, not me. Not me. Not me. Hey, we find ourselves in that situation. Brave Christians. Brave Christians. Have an opportunity to stand for God and give a great testimony and a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But fear keeps us from doing it. Fear. The fear of man. The fear of our peers sometimes. Well, what are people going to say? Well, what's God going to think? That's where our concern ought to be. But it's just that little bit of fear. A little bit of fear. People have gone in war, or literally been in warfare, been under in the battle when the fire is raging, and there's real bullets are flying around. They can stand and take that and attack the enemy, but you get them home and ask them to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and give a witness, they chicken out. Why? Fear. Fear. Strange thing. Causes us to be weak. Hey, it can be fleshly appetites. Fleshly appetites can cause it. Greed can cause it. Fear can cause it. They bring on those weak moments. That moment when we have an opportunity to make a difference. Or that moment when we have the choice to make. Well, oftentimes people make the wrong choice because we are weak, all right? Oh, but remember this, all right? Remember this. Let me invite your attention back to verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 12. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. The damage that we do in a moment of weakness is often irreversible. You can't fix it. See, we have this mentality, I'll fix it later. Right now I'm going to do this. Right now I'm going to do this decision. I'll make this choice, or I'm going to take this action. May not be right, but I'll fix it later. I'm going to fix it later. Well, Esau found out he couldn't fix it later. It was done. It was over. I can't go back. I can't fix that, all right? I remind you, David found out I can't fix the mess I made either. I can't go back and straighten that out. I can't go back. Uriah's dead. I can't bring him back to life. Nothing I can do bring him back to life. Can't do it. Boy, and that, it hovered over him, that sin hovered over him and his reign the rest of his life. Why? In a moment of weakness. In a moment of weakness, he was caught, all right? He was caught. And he failed the test. He gave in to the flesh. He sinned, and he found out later, I can't fix this. I can't fix this. Listen, can I say to you, we need to be real careful about thinking, I'll fix it later. I'll fix it a little bit later. It'll be okay. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Listen, you need to prepare for moments of weakness in times of strength. Right? You need to prepare for moments of weakness in times of strength. And prepare yourself mentally. Realize, hey, the attack's going to come. I may be on top of the world right now, and I'm ready for anything, and I'm prepared, and I can handle it, and this is a moment of strength, and boy, everything is good, and I'm right with the Lord, and I just feel like the Lord's right here beside me, and I'm with Him, and I'm in agreement with Him. That's great, man, a moment of strength. But that's when you prepare for the moment of weakness. That's when you get yourself ready, knowing the challenge is going to come, all right? Can I say this? I don't know how many times I've been to youth camp. I don't know how many times I've taken groups of young people to youth camp. And I don't know how many times we've stood and listened to teenagers talk about the decisions they had made to serve God, and they had made to make changes in their life, to get rid of sin in their life, maybe get rid of the wrong kind of music, the wrong kind of clothes, and I mean on and on down the line. But that's a moment of strength when we're standing together at camp, surrounded by a bunch of other people that are saying amen and encouraging and pat you on the back. But the moment of weakness is going to come. Those kids are going to have to go home. Those kids are going to have to go to school. They're going to have to face some things. Hey, some of them, it doesn't wait until they get to school. We've had teenagers make great decisions and decide, I'm going to do this for God, make this change. And just they get home and tell their parents, and their parents make fun of them and talk them out of it. That's where the moment of weakness came. You've got to prepare for that. You've got to prepare for that in a moment of strength. Well, let me say this to you. As a Christian, I want you to know, when you decide to give it all to God and you decide I'm going to live for Him, and you're in the church and people are around you and saying amen and congratulations and I'll pray for you, that's good. But I want you to know, when you walk out those doors and you get on your own, you're going to face some time and you're going to be by yourself. There's not going to be anybody else around to say, I'm with you. I've got your back. I'll stand with you. I'll help you fight the enemy. You're going to find yourself by yourself. You prepare in that moment of strength for that moment of weakness to come. You prepare yourself. And one of the things is mentally realize it's coming. It's coming. Listen, you can't go through life with the attitude, everything's going to be wonderful as long as I live. Man, I got saved, everything's good, I'm on my way to heaven, nothing will ever go wrong. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You got to prepare for that. You need to prepare for that. Listen, I knew Mom and Dad were going to die. I knew that. I knew it was coming. Now, with Dad, we had a little bit of warning it was coming real soon. Well, Mom, we had absolutely no warning, you know. Boom, she went to heaven. But I'll tell you this, I'd already prepared myself for that to happen. I'd already prepared myself. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it would take place. Now, you can say whatever you want to about me, but when my kids were little, I tried to prepare myself should something happen to one of them. You said, why? Because I didn't want to get bitter against God. Because things might happen. I've never felt like in this world I'm immune. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. I've never had that thought, never had that idea, and I've always tried to prepare myself mentally, knowing that anything and every kind of thing could happen. Said, you ever been surprised? Most definitely. Most definitely. Absolutely. The phone has rang before, and I've picked it up and listened, and I thought, say what? One more time. Say it one more time. Because I couldn't believe it the first time. Couldn't believe it. But I'd prepared myself anyway for those kind of things. So therefore, when those things happen, I didn't get mad at God. I didn't get mad at God and say, well, Lord, why? Why? Because I realized those things can happen. Things can go wrong. Life is not, just a bed of roses. Nothing bad ever happens to a child of God. Hey, things happen. But God's in control of it. And if it's in His plan, in His will's perfect, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready for it. You need to prepare yourself mentally, all right? But you need to prepare yourself spiritually too, all right? Spiritually. You need to get some strength in you, okay? You need to do that. You need to get the sin out. The Bible says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. That's what you're going to cleanse. You need to keep things clean. You need to just keep things clean, all right? We're in the midst of COVID-19, round two, looks like. But what are they saying? Basically the same thing. Hey, wash hands, do this, do that, you know, do that. Hey, there's things you can do to avoid it. Try to help you a little bit. Fine, wonderful. But I'm not hiding. I'm not going to quit living. I'm not going to do that. Those things can come, all right? You have choices to make in those areas. Make a choice. Live with the choice you make. Go with it. No problem. You don't have to justify anything to me along those lines. But you prepare yourself. Hey, spiritually, you prepare yourself for what the devil's going to throw at you. Build some strength in you in the Word of God. Have some folks that you know will pray for you. One of the grand things about cell phones is this. You're just a few keys away from asking somebody to pray for you. All right? I mean, it's simple. It's simple. In old days, as they say, you know, when you still had to put your finger in the hole and spin that deal to dial the number, those kind of days, you know what? You couldn't just call everybody. But today, pretty much everybody has one of these. You can call them. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When the temptation comes, instead of you giving in, you get on and say, I need some help. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you just pray for me? Hey, you ought to have some people that you can count on that'll pray for you. And if need be, they say, hang on, I'll be right there. Let me say this to you. If you get in a position in life where you need this preacher, I don't care what time it is, day or night, if it's going to help you in that moment of weakness, you know my number. You know my number. Well, preacher, you may be in the bed. Well, when the phone rings and I hear it, I get out of the bed and answer it. I just get up and answer it. Well, I need you. Okay, I'll be there as soon as I can get dressed. And usually I can get dressed fairly fast. I'll be there. You said, oh, no. Wait a minute. We're talking about a moment of weakness. Don't you think it would have done David some good had he have called somebody and said, I need you to come over and help me because I'm being tempted? Amen. Wouldn't David's life have been better had he done that? But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Esau's life would have been better had he have realized, wait a minute, I'm not really starving to death. And maybe he'd looked around in the kitchen, he might have found a cold biscuit he could have ate, you know? Maybe there was something there. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Prepare yourself spiritually. The devil's going to attack. You stay in the Word of God. Have some folks around that you... Listen, I'm not joking about this. Have some people you can call that'll... You know, I can depend on them. They love me and they'll do it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Help me fight off the attack of the devil. Now, at that moment that you stop to think about it is the moment you should stop and think, I need to call. If you need to, what in the world's wrong with that? Wouldn't it be better than messing your life up? Than shipwrecking your life? Prepare yourself. Prepare it in the moment of strength. Prepare now for when you're going to need it later. If I were to ask how many of you have insurance on your home, most of you who own a home would raise your hand. Well, why? Well, just in case. Right? I said, why do you have insurance? Well, in case the thing burns down. I'd like to try to recover a little bit. I'd like to recover some. So I have insurance. Well, spiritually, you build up that strength. So when you need it, you've got it. You need it, you've got it. Prepare yourself. Here you are. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested in your weak moments. Are you preparing now for that weak moment? Are you preparing yourself right now to meet that challenge when it comes? Are you preparing, or are you just kind of la-laing along thinking, man, everything's good, nothing's going to happen to me? It will sooner or later. Hey, sooner or later, the devil's going to attack you. He's going to attack you. If you're doing anything for God, he's going to come after you. If temptation's going to come, it may come in the form of, why don't you stay in the bed today? Don't get up. Don't get up. It's okay if you skip this service. It's just one. It's just one. Man, you hadn't missed now, you know, 35 straight times the door's been open. You've been there. Won't hurt. Miss one. Won't hurt. They're putting out all these lists. I see them. You give yourself a point for what you've done and what you haven't done. And some of them, they've got all kinds of stuff. And, well, one of them is skip class. And the first time I saw that list, I thought, well, I've never done that. But the last time I saw that list, I thought, oh, yes, I have. I was in college. And I had some time in between classes. And I went student union building. I never went to the student union building when I was in college, but I did that day up at North Texas State. I went to the student union building. And some of my friends were there. And they you know, had some time off. So we got sitting around and got to talking and just approaching time to leave to go to the next class. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, and they're sitting there going, man, I don't have a class next period. I think that's what it was. And we may have all agreed just right then, we just ain't going to class, all right? And we skipped that class. Can I tell you this? After that first skip, the temptation was a lot stronger to skip the second one. And you know what it was? I found myself thinking, no big deal, skip one. I can skip another one. But I didn't. All right, I didn't skip that other one. I failed the whole course, lost the credit that semester. No, I didn't. I didn't. But you never know what you could have missed. Now, to be honest with you, you say, what'd you miss? Nothing. Because it was a nothing class. But I needed the credit to add up with all the other credits so I could have enough credits to get my diploma, all right? And I wanted that degree. But I found out real quick, it's easy to skip. It's easy to do it. And once you've done it, it's easier to do it again. It's a lot easier to do it again. Well, saying, preacher, I'm saying this, you better prepare right now in the moment of strength for the moment of weakness that's to come. You need to call on God. You need to have that relationship with Him. It needs to be close. You see, you don't ever need to get to a point where you feel like He's kind of far away and He's not going to notice what you're fixing to do. No, you need to keep that relationship close. Where if the temptation comes along, you're like Joseph said, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? Sin against God. You see, he had that relationship with God. He had prepared for the moment of weakness. Joseph was human just like everybody else. But he had prepared in a time of strength, so he was ready in a moment of weakness. We could go on down the line. You could talk about Daniel. My son and I, we were talking at lunch, and he said, he was teaching this morning, and he said, Daniel purposed in his heart, and he said he had made that purpose long before the temptation came. And he did. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not sit down in Babylon and have the king's meat brought in and go, what do you think, guys? No, the decision was made before they ever got there. Decision was made before the food ever showed up. You see, they prepared a long time ago in a moment of strength. For that moment, it could have been a moment of weakness. When their fellow Jewish friends gave in and violated the word of God. Don't you know the pressure was on them to give in? Big time. But they prepared for that moment of weakness in a time of strength. Have you prepared yourself? Well, if you hadn't, you need to. You need to. Why? Temptation's coming. That moment of weakness is going to be here. You need to make preparation. Heavenly Father, I pray now you would help us tonight, Lord. Help us know the truth of the Word of God. Esau, Lord, sinned because in a moment of weakness, he traded away his birthright for a morsel of meat. Later on, he regretted it, but he couldn't fix it. Lord, I pray you would help us here tonight to prepare ourselves for that moment of weakness, so that when that moment comes, we'll be ready for it, we'll not give in to sin, we'd not do something that later on we'd regret with tears and look back as a stain in our life. Lord, help us to overcome it. Help us to prepare now for those weak times to come. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.